visitors with us this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you very much for being with us. We hope you'll have a wonderful time of fellowship and worship with us this morning. If you're a returning visitor, thank you for being with us. I went and visited with one of our returning visitors, the Fox family, and Brother Fox plays the harmonica, and so I asked him, bring your harmonica Sunday and play with us, and he has been playing a little bit, and I have enjoyed that. Thank you very much, Brother Fox. That is a blessing. If it wasn't such an imposition, I'd ask him to come play the piano and sing that song he sung for me. Did he say, sure? Brother Jim, you help him come up here? Brother Fox was born blind, and he just likes singing for the Lord.
The voices of a million angels could not express my
Sister Fox, thank you very much for caring for him and making it possible for him to be here today and his son. There we go. Psalms 59. Thank you, Sister Nancy, for singing as well. I enjoyed your song as well. Choir, you did a great job. Well, you can't do much better than good, godly music. Really can. Let's get your heart ready to receive the Word. Spend time in the Bible. Now, we're continuing going through the book of Psalms. We're just hitting here a little bit, digging in there. This morning, we're going to go to Psalms 59. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we're just going to spend a little time in verses 16 and 17 this morning. Psalms 59. The Bible says in verse 1, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful unto any wicked transgressors, Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. Go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear?" Verse 8. "But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield." Verse 12. "For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go around about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied." Verse 16. "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." David here has endured many, many trials. I think some of us here are probably really at the point of saying, I've had enough. I think if today goes like yesterday and like the day before, I think I'm just going to simply give up. I think some of the greatest hurts in my heart life, and I know, listen, we're not to allow things to trouble us as much as we do. I wish we could put up shields and we could be like the old saying. What's the old saying? Like water off a duck's back. I wish it was like that. I wish it was all the time like that old saying. You and I go together like peanut butter and jelly. Let me tell you, sometimes, dear friend, the biggest hurts that you'll face is when you've actually done nothing at all. I mean, because somebody witnessed with me this morning, has there been times that you've been hurt or attacked and you've done absolutely nothing? This is the case of the psalmist writing here today in verse 3. He says, "For lo, they lay in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me." And listen to what he says. "Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves," and listen to what he says, "without my fault." The psalmist said, "Listen, I'm being attacked right now for something. I don't even know what it's all about. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what I've done. It's not because of my sin." Listen, it's easier sometimes to take, Brother Dwayne, when I know I've messed up. When I've said something, or I've had the wrong attitude, or you know, I've been in a spirit of vileness, you know, with my grumpiness and things of that nature. You know, when that's returned, it's easier sometimes to say, "Wow, I deserve that." You know, I'm not as quick to jump into that pity party and say, "Oh, woe is me." But some of the greatest hurts of all, and my pastor said this before he died, Pastor Steve Sheff said this. He said, "Lane, those that you help the most are the quickest to hurt you the fastest." Just part of life. And this is where the psalmist finds this. And here's what I'm saying to you today. If you're at that point where you feel like you have been wronged and you have done nothing to deserve it, it's just an attack upon you. It's like it says there, they're like dogs, verse 6. And they make a noise like a dog, just growling all around you. They go around about the city. Verse 7, "Behold, they belch out their mouth. Swords are in their lips." If you're feeling like today, if it goes and this day finishes like yesterday and the day before and the weeks before, I'm just giving up. This is the greatest thing that I can say to you this morning. I'm going to encourage you this morning. Do not give up, but start looking up. Because the problem is we begin to look around us and about us and the things that has happened, the circumstances of life. I'm here to tell you, dear friend, we as God's people, we have absolutely no business living underneath the circumstances of life, because we are God's children and He is our God. He is our refuge. He is our defense. Now listen, if I could just tell you just for a moment that life is not fair. People are going to say things about you. People are going to attack you. People are going to be mean and cruel without cause. Without cause. It's just human nature. You know, we attack and we look and we see. And you know, sometimes it's a blindness of haughtiness, a blindness of pride upon our own self. We begin to look at others and where they're at in their life and say, "Well, you know, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm much better than they are." Oh, dear friend, be very careful, because that haughty spirit, dear friend, shortly is going to come to fall in your own life. I would tell you, dear friend, we do good to always remember the moments and times, the hours, the need that we needed grace and mercy in our life.
Amen.
I do know this. David expected his song to return. David wasn't singing. Listen, I'm not for one moment telling you not to be sad. I'm not for one moment telling you not to be hurt by the words of other people, by the actions of other people. I'm not here to tell you that it's not going to rob you of your joy and the song that you have. But I am going to tell you this. Expect to sing again. Expect to have joy again. The storm's going to run out of water. The thunder's going to quit, the lightning's going to stop, and the sun's going to come out. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, you've got to have some expectations that you're going to sing the songs of Zion and the praises of God once again. So I'm telling you, down in that valley, down in the deepest of despair, it's hard to lift up a voice of praise. It's hard, dear friend, to lift up a song of joy and sing to our God. Now, our circumstances and the valley that we're in has not changed the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is and shall always be. Everlasting to everlasting. Our circumstances and our heartbreak and our pain does not change God. You will sing again. Now David expected that. Look at verse number 16. He said there, verse 16, he says, "But I will sing of thy power." He was looking forward to that time. He wasn't singing right now. He wasn't saying, "I am going to sing right now. I am lifting up my voice." He said, "I will." And sometime in the future, dear friend, listen, God's power is much greater than our problem. God's power is much greater than marital problems, financial problems, child and father, mother and daughter problems. It's much greater than you and your boss having trouble. God's power, and King David said here, he said, "But I will sing of thy power." God is much stronger than any of our adversaries. The Bible tells us this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4, it says, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world." So David was going through some difficult times. And so much, he said his enemies was running around him like dogs, growling. I am amazed that sometimes the wolf mentality that Christians have. You understand that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And many times he tricks us Christians to walk around in the haughtiness of pride and the arrogance of self-righteousness, that we look down upon those that are hurting and fallen, and those which have been tripped up by the wiles of the devil, have been robbed and been destroyed and eaten by the... And we jump in like a pack of wolves right on top of them. That's not the nature of God's people. The nature of God's people should be that of a sheep. Not as a raven wolf calling out and hurting and speaking forwardness of someone else's spirituality as if we're greater than they. We're only who we are by the grace of God. We've only arrived to the point we are because God has given us the ability and desire and hunger and thirst to be where we're at. But any moment, dear friend, we can be robbed of the appetite of righteousness. We can rest, dear friend, on the power of God to deliver us. And David could remember the powerful deliverance of the past. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We need to remember verses like this. Let our speech always be seasoned with grace. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse number 32. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He's speaking of Goliath, the Philistine. "Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, discouragement on every side." Here's the king of Saul, and his men are frightened and hiding and shaken like leaves. And here's the young man who stands up and says, "I'll go out and fight him," and discouragement begins to sound off. And he, a man of war from his youth. We always see our problem bigger than the God that's behind us. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I called him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Verse 37, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. You know why David could say, I will see? You know how David could say, I will sing of the power of God, dear friend? He had been protected by watching the sheep. He had already had the protection of God upon him. You know why he could say, I will sing of the power? He had been given power to defeat a lion and a lamb and a bear. That's why when he looked out there and he heard this uncircumcised Philistine talking about the armies of the living God, he could say, God will deliver this also unto me. Look in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. We jump ahead a little bit and read that in verse 45. This said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. David understand where the attack was at. The attack was really on his God. Too often, dear friend, I'm going to just throw this in there for a little bit. Too often we forget that when we are attacked without cause, that it's not really us that's being attacked. It's God that we represent that's being attacked. And if we're not careful, we'll be thinking too highly of ourselves, and we'll say, that attack was against me, and we forget we're in a spiritual battle. And a lot of times, take it, friend, when we look out and we approach somebody or somebody's situation, or we see where they're at, and we speak out against that or speak toward them, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, we forget that our battle is not with them, but it is a spiritual battle. And we lose sight. That's when the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. Because it's a spiritual battle. And we in the Christian realm, dear friend, if we're not careful, we spend too much time arguing amongst ourselves and not striving together for the cause of Christ. And David said, listen to me, whom thou hast defied. You know what this Goliath had done said to him, Brother Jim? He then called him a little ruddy thing. He called him names, Sister Barbara. He said, you're just a little ruddy thing. What they send out, what am I like a dog? Are they sending out some meat to me? What I mean, what are they doing? He spoke bad. David didn't take in that. David said, you have defiled whom thou hast defiled, the God of heaven. Verse 46, and listen to what he said. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, listen to what it says, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. How many of you have seen movies of David and Goliath? When David goes out there, he's trembling, he's shaking, and he's trying to get him a stone out of his bag. The Bible says that David hasted and ran toward the problem because he understood that God was in charge, and this was God's battle. And David ran up there, he drew a stone up out of his his bag, verse 49, David put his hand in his bag, took this, a stone, and slung it. Knocked him right in the forehead. And down he went. David did not enter this battle in fear, because in this battle he understood that God was in charge. You know why David could say over there in Psalms 59, verse number 16, that I will sing of the power of God? You know why? Because his memory. He had a memory of God's power at work. And he could think back at that lion. He could think back at that bear. He could think back at Goliath. And then he could go forth in battle. He wasn't singing right now, dear friend. It was a difficult battle. When we read this chapter 59 all the way down, he's not singing. He's looking at the situation at hand, but then all of a sudden he begins to ponder, to remember, dear friend, and as he remembered, it drew him nigh to God's faithfulness. And let me tell you something, faith will enable us to expect that God's going to come through for us. David said, listen, I will sing of God's power. Secondly, David said, and he had a great expectation, not only of singing again for the Lord, he had great expectations that God's mercy would meet him at the time and the moment that he needed it the most. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. Listen to what he says. In the morning. God's going to show up with His mercy at the expected time and the needful time of the hour. Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon said. C.H. Spurgeon said this, the greater our present trials, the louder our future songs, and the more intense our future gratitude will be. Mercy. Oh, mercy. You know what the Bible says? Listen. The greatest recognition of God and all that He's done for us is found in a little verse in the book of Titus. Titus, three chapters. In Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to what? God's mercy are you saved. Oh, what a verse. What a verse. Every time we begin to pick apart, look down upon those and attack, we need to remember it's not by our works of righteousness, but it was by God's mercy that we are saved. It's by God's mercy we are what we are today. The mercy of God ought to challenge us with great service for God. How many of you would agree with me for a moment that Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest men of the New Testament? And you know what Apostle Paul's beseechment was to the church, the believers in Rome? He said, I beseech you, brethren, by my great works. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And listen to what he said, which is your reasonable service. By the mercies of God. You know why David could say with a great expectation, I will sing? Because he had remembered the hand of God at work in his life. He had remembered the times when God came through. And he could understand that it wasn't by David's power, but it was by God's mercy. And David understood, I am going to sing. And David expected protection of God to arrive. Well, that's a beautiful song, isn't it? What's the name of that song? In the morning. Ooh, it just popped in my head. And it left that fast. Sun's coming up in the morning. Sun's coming up in the morning. David had expectations that he would sing again. You know what the devil's trying to get you to do? Quit. You know why I said don't quit? Look up. Look up. The sun's coming again. The sun's going to shine. Well, it might be dark right now. It might be difficult right now. It might be heartbreaking right now. Dear friend, I'm telling you, there comes a time when the Son of God's going to step forth into your life, and He's going to reach down there, and He's going to place your feet back upon that solid rock, and He's going to help you through that dark moment, and the sun and the light of God's going to shine forth in your situation, and you're going to know that it was God and God alone and His mercies that proved and provided and got you through the situation that you're in right now. David expected that it would be God and God alone. Look at verse 17. He said, "Unto thee, O my strength." You know what's the problem with most of us? We hang on to dear life, to our troubles, trials, and problems, like we can fix them. We hold on to them. It's as if when we've done grabbed a snake by the business end, by the opposite end of business, the tail end. And we grab that snake, big old 7-8 foot long snake that's poisonous, and we're going to reach out there and grab it by the tail, and we think we're going to be able to control that thing. And that's how we do with our problems. And we're all along, we're getting bit. That snake just twirls around, bites us, twirls around, bites us. Twirls around and bites it. And we keep holding on, keep holding on, keep holding on. I remember one time my oldest son, had bought a motorcycle when he came back from Afghanistan on what they call that, midway, R&R. Is that what it's called, guys, military guys? R&R, rest and relaxation, like when they get you away from. He came back from Afghanistan in the middle of his tour. And they came back with wads of money. And he saw one of them Crotch rockets. One of them 1100s. Black. Oh, and had to have it. Young man, no responsibility, nothing but money, and fast bike. And he went and bought it. He sure did. And bought it, and it was like this now over in Louisiana. It was August. It was hot, just as hot as it is here. And just to sweat, just think, he went and got him one of them leather suits. He got him some leather gloves. Man, he was leathered down. Riding in that hot August heat in Louisiana, he began to sweat. And he sweated. And sweat was coming. And he stopped in a red light. And he took his gloves off. And he put the gloves down inside his pants. The little cargo pants, he put it down in there, and he reached, and when he did, the hand's still sweaty, and the clutch slipped. And the clutch popped, and he goosed it, and it went, and he hit the ground, and he never let go of the steering wheel. More and more trouble, right? Scraped him up, drug him, 100 yards down the road, off into a ditch, and he never let go. Kept on holding on. That's what we do with our problems. We get some rest and relaxation, so we grab problems by the horn. That don't make any sense at all, dear friend. None whatsoever. David said, "Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing." Here is confidence in God's protection. Here is man's confidence in a God that he had seen work time and time again. And he said, "Unto thee, O my strength, I will sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." There's our sing. But the only time, dear friend, the only time you're going to sing again is when you fully recognize God in His place. He is God and Lord of lords and King of kings of every corner of your life. Every corner. When you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, He's your God. When you're at lunch at 11:30, 12 o'clock afternoon, He is your God. And all in between. When you go to bed at night, He is your God. That's what the Bible teaches us, that we should bring every thought and imagination into captivity under the power of Christ. Because God is God. David understood. He said, "Listen, unto thee, O my strength." Unto thee. You're my strength. Not my strength. David wouldn't say, "My strength." He would say, "Unto thee, thou art my strength." Unto thee, thou art my strength. Thou art the God of my defense. the God of my mercy. Oh, dear friend, faith brings a song before deliverance ever arrives. I can almost hear David at the end of this here, Brother Judd, at the end of this, when he started, when the Holy Spirit had him write 16 and 17, how the humming that started taking place like a cat purr deep inside. I could hear it. As he's writing, hey, victory's not there yet. But God in faith began to move in his life, and as he could begin to see the end of this and see the power of God at work, the song began to come. And listen, dear friends, we can triumph in trials because, listen, God is alive forevermore. Let's close with this one verse. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Victory in Jesus. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you something. The hardest things you can go through in life is when you're attacked for no reason at all. No reason at all. Just because somebody just decided they wanted to do some attacking. Just thought they had to open up and let it run. You know what? As a child of God, we're saved. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. He gives us the mind of Christ. You think that'd help us to engage our brains before we start running our mouths? Many times, dear friend, we disregard the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we feel like what we got to say is much better heard and kept silent. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Oh, the mercies of God. The faithfulness of God. Whatever trial, whatever difficulty you're going through this morning, dear friend, God's the answer.